Blog Talk Radio.
They call me Mr. Motivator, and that's my stage name. I also perform not only motivational speaking, but I also perform stand-up comedy. And I'm looking to hold the body of the day. And I want to say to you, there are just running. You see, so many of us have a lot inside of us, but for some
welcome, everyone. You've just tuned in to the Mr. Motivator Show. I'm your host, Dwight Jeffrey, reminding you that success is yours. If you dare to dream and keep thinking big, you will discover your purpose in life. If you are a first-time listener to our broadcast, I want to say welcome to you. I want to say welcome today, and to our regular listeners, welcome to all of you. Now, before we get started, I want to say one thing. Put down that piece of chicken and that potato salad, because it's time for you to get some motivation and some inspiration. Today, we have another exciting show lined up for you. Now, if you want to find out everything that I'm doing, feel free to go to my blog, which is dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. That's that's dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter, and that is at C Mr. Motivator. The letter C as in cow, MR, MOTIVATOR. And if you have email questions for me, feel free to email us at cthemotivatedyahoo.com. The letter C as in cow, MR, MOTIVATOR at yahoo.com. Today, we're going to talk to you about a great subject. Meet you at the top. Have you thought about the different things needed to measure your progress in life? If you have, it's called scorekeeping, and it serves with great anticipation and expectation on how a person climbs a ladder of success. I am going to examine how to function out of your comfort zone by perfecting your mode of scorekeeping. And the guest who's going to help us with that today is my friend, Ron. I'm going to allow Ron to introduce himself to you and give you a little bit of background, and we're going to ask Ron questions, and we're going to find out what we can do to get you to the top. Ron, welcome to the broadcast today.
Thank you.
Give everybody, give us your full name, okay, some people would like to check you out.
Yeah, my full name is Ron McLeod, Ron C. McLeod.
Ron C. McLeod. And Ron, tell us a little bit about, and thank you for being a guest on our show today.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
And tell us a little bit about your background, and so that way we can get to know who you are and where you come from.
Okay. Well, I'm Canadian. I was born and raised in Canada for the first 30 years of my life. I'm from the province of Manitoba and Quebec. I came to the United States in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
And stayed here until 1990. Then I married a Brazilian girl and went to Brazil.
Okay.
I've been down in Brazil for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And I recently came back about a year ago from Brazil. And I've been living here in Dallas with my son, Raymond.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, Ron. What about your background? What is your background come from?
Okay. I have a degree with the forestry engineering.
Okay.
And I worked as a forestry engineer for until I was about 30 years old. And then I got into the personal development business with the Success Motivation International with Paul J. Meyer. I don't, you might have
really
heard of him. Yes,
I know Mr. Paul J. Meyer. He's one of my mentors.
Okay. And Paul, I met Paul and Gary Mattson, who recruited me into SMI. And I was the first French-speaking distributor for SMI in Quebec. And
wow.
I stayed there until they asked me to come to Dallas.
Yes.
So I came to Dallas in 1974, and I was here until 86, and when they asked me to come into the development, to be a development director with LMI.
Yes.
So I stayed there until 1989, when Don Dwyer, who's a SMI graduate and SMI former vice president, he invited me to go to the Dwyer Group, which sold franchises. Don wanted to have 10,000 franchises. That was his dream.
Yeah.
And he has six kids, and they all worked in the business with a company called Rainbow International.
Yes.
And he developed Rainbow International and bought other companies. And I worked in the area of franchising. I sold master licenses for the Dwyer Group outside the United States, in Mexico, in France, in Spain, and in Canada.
Wow.
And so that's where I was with him. I sold what they call master licenses,
mm-hmm.
which is the right to sell franchises in a certain area for one of his companies, Mr. Reuter, Worldwide Refinishing, and Rainbow International.
Wow, I'm very familiar with Rainbow International, and you have a very impressive background. Now, let me ask you this, to work with people such as Mr. Meyer and to be involved with Rainbow International, I know those these kinds of companies, these individuals, they work with first-class individuals. I mean, they want people that are leaders. Now, tell us about yourself. Did you at any point in your life deal with people that were negative, or were you ever exposed to negative influence? And if you were, what got you into changing your life around and getting into personal improvement?
Well, I think we're all exposed to negative influences, because it's like this, Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, when you're born, there's not a committee.
Yeah.
They call the teacher and the preacher and everybody, and they say, okay, this is where this guy is going. Is this baby, or this is where he or she is going, and this is what we need to do to help him to become his best. It's all haphazard. So you go to the school, and it depends on the teacher. You might get some good teachers, or you might get some teachers that aren't as good.
Yeah.
And the same with the preachers, too. You know, you get some people that are hell and brimstone, and other people that are interested in helping people, like Robert Schuller. I could name one, and Norman Vincent Peale.
Yeah, they're two of my
favorites. They were two people that were very positive.
Yes.
So I started to be influenced by Norman Vincent Peale.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Schuller in The Hour of Power. I remember way back.
Yeah.
And I was in the forest. I love working in nature. That was a very positive thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to walk maybe 30 to 40 miles a day, or kilometers, I would say. In Canada, we have kilometers.
Yeah.
And even on snowshoes. So I was in tremendous physical shape.
I see. You covered a lot of territory.
And then from there, but I didn't want to live in the forest, because the forest is far from where my wife would be my future wife.
Yeah.
So when I got married, I bought this franchise with SMI, and that's how I got into the motivation, into the personal development business, the knowledge business,
yes,
so to speak.
Wow.
And then when I was with the World Dwyer Group, after I got divorced, and then I married a lady from Brazil. And we lived in Quebec, in this Quebec City.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, she went back. She was getting her master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
So she went back to Brazil.
Yeah.
And so for the last 20 years, I've developed there. When I first got there, I didn't speak Portuguese. So I had to just teach English.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, I developed a niche, so to speak, with doctors. I taught doctors English and self-motivation techniques and business-building techniques.
That's all right.
And then from there, they came. I prepared them to come to Allegheny Hospital. They gave me a contract at Allegheny Hospital to teach the doctors English so that when they came to Allegheny in Pittsburgh, they would be able to understand, communicate in English to the surgeons and the people that they would be working with in the observerships that they were in. And they'd come for maybe 3 to 4 months. They weren't allowed to touch patients or anything like that, but they learned. And so before they contacted me, these doctors were going there and they weren't profiting from their experience because they didn't understand the American English and how to speak and how to communicate.
Uh-huh.
So from there, because the English spoken here is not like the English you learn in school in outside the country. Because, of course, when I came in Quebec, I spoke English, of course, because my family is English-speaking. But I was one of the few people in Quebec, where I was in the north of Quebec, that spoke English. And so everybody spoke French. And this is how I'm telling you this to show you that there's always opportunity. This is how I got into teaching English a long time ago when I was a student. At my first job outside of being a student, I got up there, and they were just building this new town, carving it out of the forest.
Yeah.
And they were building a pulp mill, a chemical plant, and a lumber mill. And all the equipment came from the United States. And all of the controls, the industrial controls, came from the United States. And so the politicians had developed this to provide employment for the local people.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't think that people don't speak French outside of Quebec. And so we had these people from Alabama, Kentucky, Texas, that didn't speak a word of French, and all of these people in Quebec that don't speak English.
Wow.
So they asked me if I would be at night a teacher conversation to get the people to be understanding the foreign people coming in to understand English. And that's how I got started teaching English.
Wow.
So it was I used to be a forestry engineer during the day, walking that mileage that I told you about. And at night I used to teach English, conversational English.
Wow.
And it used to, so that's how I got started in speaking, in teaching English.
Wow, that's incredible. And looking at, it's amazing, but I don't know if I shared this with you, but the way I was introduced to Paul J. Maher, when I worked as an engineer, and I was looking for some other opportunities to do some moonlighting, you know, to work on the site, and I was introduced to a gentleman by the name of Steve Klein, who was Steve was a distributor for Paul Maher.
Yeah.
And Steve gave me an opportunity to work with him, with his staff in Richardson, Texas. And my life was changed because this man introduced me to Paul Maher and his self-improvement materials
uh-huh.
and a lot of the programs, and they changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a negative environment, and I grew up around people who just felt like, hey, life just sucks. Why try to go any place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just accept things the way they are. But because of working with Steve Klein and Paul J. Meyer, using those materials, I was transformed into a different individual. And it affected my life so that when I went into the education industry and started teaching school, I found myself making an impact on kids and students, other educators, and that's how they end up giving me the name Mr. Motivator. And it opened doors for me to go into stand-up comedy and public speaking. But, yes, you really hit some bones with me today. You touched some nerves when you hit into personal self-improvement. And to look at the fact who you are covering anywhere from 20 to 30 miles or more a day walking, and then who you are at night educating people with conversational English says a lot about the motivation that you had, because it takes a man who's motivated to work that hard on a job during the day and then at night come in and give the same kind of performance. So I am so excited that you came out to share with us today. And I'm gonna stop right there, because I know you have some more great information to share with us and how you advance into getting people to the top. So go right ahead and pick up where you left off.
I know Steve, too. He's one of my best friends.
Oh, you know Steve?
Wow. When I came down here, he was in one division. I was in leadership management in LMI, and he was with FMI.
Yeah.
But we got together, and
he
was a tremendous help for me.
Wow.
Tremendous help. And
yeah,
he's in the radio business, of course. He's got a fantastic business now.
Knew he had a radio background,
uh-huh.
and we worked together. And I think he had a degree in English.
Yeah, from Illinois.
Yeah, from Illinois.
Yeah.
And Steve's just an amazing guy.
Yeah.
He had a very very intellectual, very strong, and he taught me marketing and sales and how to get in there and talk to people. And this guy was a product of the product.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody I've met more bolder than Steve Klein, and his, of course, he had a beautiful family. His wife Barbara was just an awesome lady, and Steve really influenced my life a great deal, and a lot of things now I contribute to his inspiration and him taking me under his wings to teach me all of these success principles. And, man, I think when Steve introduced me to Paul Meyer, I think that was the first millionaire that I met in person, and to shake this man's hand and him look at me and talk about what he wanted to do to change people's lives.
Uh-huh.
I tell you, that was just more than I could have ever imagined.
Yes. I can remember, well, with Steve, we didn't work in the same field. He worked in car dealerships a lot.
Yeah.
He's a motivator in that field.
Uh-huh.
I had a lady named Alberta.
Yeah.
Alberta Parham.
Uh-huh.
She was a lady. She was a nurse's assistant.
Okay.
The black lady.
Yeah.
And she worked, and her husband, and she was a widow, and she had one son.
Yeah.
And she lived near the airport at Love Field, and she worked as a nurse's assistant. And then she saw an opportunity to gather up her friends that lived in that same neighborhood that were unemployed.
Yeah.
And she developed a school with a friend of mine from Germany,
uh-huh.
Hans, and they developed a business where they furnished nursing technicians
yeah.
for to individuals and to hospitals. And this is a lady with no education, and
wow.
she was very, she had maybe 100 people working for her, and she always worked out of her house, and she used to pay them every week, and she, it was a real commotion down there when everybody came, because they were out of work for so long.
Wow.
So this lady had vision, and she used one of Paul's programs, and she actually came down and addressed the convention. The SMI convention,
I tell you, his self-improvement programs were so powerful. And I remember Paul sharing with a group of people once that he was headed someplace and he got stuck, his car got stuck in a ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And a black man came over and he took his tractor and pulled Paul Meyer out of the ditch.
Uh-huh.
And Paul was so happy and thankful that the man helped him. And when he talked to the man, he found out that the man didn't have any education, and basically all he knew how to do was basically, you know, work around the farm and do a few things. And Paul invited him to come to his office and said, "Hey, come to my office, and I'd like to meet with you, and I want to work with you."
Mm-hmm.
The man came to Paul's office. Paul Meyer worked with this gentleman, got him involved with using some of his programs, and that man who was on a tractor who had no education ended up becoming very successful as a result of Paul Meyer personally teaching him how to use his program.
Fantastic, eh?
Yeah, it blew me away.
It shows you what we all can do when people come in contact with us.
Yes. You know, I love education. I think it's the greatest thing. But when people develop their attitudes and their belief in themselves, and that's what Mr. Meyer instills in us when we use one of his programs, nothing holds you back. You don't let education barriers or anything stop you from achieving. And I think that's the greatest thing that any one of us could have is that self-motivation and goal direction.
Yeah, Paul, he's etched in the granite in both of his buildings in Waco, because he died a couple of years ago.
Oh, he did?
It said, whatever you vividly imagine, ardently desire, sincerely believe, and enthusiastically act upon, must inevitably come to pass. I can remember that like today.
Yes, yes. I still today, I read that. I use it all the time when I feel like giving up. I'll go back and get that, and I'll read it, and it just fires me up.
Yeah.
And I didn't know Paul had passed.
Yeah, he passed away a couple of years ago.
Wow.
But another person that I met, because you talked about seeing meet you at the top.
Yeah.
Basically, when I went to Brazil,
uh-huh.
I led a very comfortable life there. We had apartments, and we live in a luxury apartment on the ninth floor overlooking the South Atlantic.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
We have a beach house with palm trees and coconuts. At one time, my sister, who is also deceased, came and visited me,
mm-hmm.
and she was blind,
mm-hmm.
and she had arthritis, and so she went in the water there, and the ocean is warm there. You can just relax, and so she said, "God, this is fantastic." We had our picture taken, and I looked at my picture after she had gone, and I said, "God, I need to make some changes," because I was growing a middle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I said, today, we lived in a 17-story apartment,
mm-hmm.
Block,
mm-hmm.
overlooking the sea. So I said, I'm going to run up these stairs. There was, if I ran up six times, it would be 102 floors.
Yeah.
And that's the equivalent of the Sears Tower. It's now called the Willis Tower.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to run up, and I kept records, because remember, Chuck Coonrad told me, always keep records.
Okay.
Even if you don't do anything, put the zero down.
Okay.
And that's very important, because you're being honest with yourself. Records don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first month,
mm-hmm.
and and this is quite a while ago. This is on my 65th birthday.
Yeah.
And basically, I started the first day. I did, I think it was two times up, 32 floors or something, and I couldn't make any more. I was stiff the next day. I didn't do it. I kept trying. On the 20th day, I got up six times. The 20th day.
Wow.
So the first 20 days, I did it once.
Uh-huh.
Now, the next 20 days, there were some zeros in there, too, because I didn't do it. But the next 20 days, I did it six times. I missed 14, okay?
Okay.
Then the next 20 days, I did it 12 times. The next 20 days, 15. And then finally, 17 times in 20 days.
Wow.
So that was 51 times that I succeeded and 49 that I failed. But the difference in my body was fantastic. I mean, can you imagine? I was 65 at the time.
Uh-huh.
You just have so much energy.
Yeah.
And so the only time I see a doctor is when I have my stress test. And so I went to take my stress test, and every year I take what they call the Bruce treadmill test.
Yeah.
And every year I'm improving because of the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And that, from the stairs, I started to, instead of doing one step at a time, I'd go up two steps at a time.
Yeah.
And then in 1969, mm-hmm. I flew to Chicago and ran up the Sears Tower, 103 floors.
No,
28 minutes.
No, you did.
At 69 years old, yeah.
No, you did. Wow.
Yeah. And then the next year, I did it again with my two sons and my partner, my business partner.
Wow.
And then the next year, my two sons and both of my wives and my daughter-in-law, we all did it together.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. So basically, it was because I kept records. I can still remember those numbers. So when you write things down, mm-hmm. because if supposing I didn't write that down,
yeah.
I'd get discouraged.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get discouraged. You say, I'll never do this,
uh-huh.
because you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't see your progress.
Yes.
You don't see how badly you're doing, too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put things down and you review them daily,
yeah.
It doesn't matter if you do it. Eventually, you're going to do it because your goal will attract you.
You're right.
You're what you focus on.
Yes.
becomes true.
It becomes reality. Huh?
It becomes reality.
Wow, that's perfect.
And so, I mean, I did that until I came here,
mm-hmm.
6.5 years, and I have a VO2 max, which most people would know what VO2 max is. The amount of oxygen that your body can, the volume of oxygen that your body can process.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 second of time,
mm-hmm.
it's measured by breathing apparatus.
Yes,
and it's 62, which is like a professional soccer player. It's and that's at 71 years old. The last time.
That is awesome.
So, and then when I came here, mm-hmm. there's no stairs here. As you see, I live in a house.
Yeah,
and so in America, we have there's a tremendous attraction of food. We all use food as a drug, really.
Yeah, that's true.
And what happened is I gained 25 pounds. 25
wow.
pounds.
25 pounds. This is right yeah. after you
came. I came here over that time.
Yeah, I think we do, especially here in America, we love food. When I go and perform places, they always want to take me out after my after I do stand up comedy.
Uh-huh.
They want to buy me food.
Yeah.
Or if they want to come and negotiate, hey, we want you to come and we want you to perform at our recreations. They're going to buy me dinner, and then we're going to talk about it. And because food is a big thing here, and you're right. And I think with it being such a main attraction, it can be deadly, and we need to be careful with the kind of food that we take in.
Uh-huh. And so when I came here, I left that business back in Brazil with my friend
yeah.
and partner,
mm-hmm.
and I came here to learn to speak in public because I wasn't a public speaker before.
Really?
Yeah, and of course, in Brazil, I don't speak English in Brazil.
Okay.
I speak English with my clients, but outside, only Portuguese. And I wanted to get back to the Texas atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I joined Toastmaster. I'm a member of six clubs.
Okay.
And also, I joined the Tony Robbins. I brought one of my sons is Bean to the Unleash Your Personal Power,
yeah.
Walking on Fire.
Yeah.
And I did that with the Dwyer Group in 1990.
Uh-huh.
And that's what turned me on to Tony.
Wow.
So I have all Tony's books in five languages.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, Tony is one of my favorites, too. I have the Awaken the Giant
Within. Within. Yes.
I have the book and the series.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's where I was introduced to you at. I heard you speak at a Toastmasters meeting,
uh-huh.
and you were incredible. And I'm like, I've got to go meet this guy because, you know, the way you pronounce your words and your body language. And I had no idea that, English was a goal for you to be able to speak like that.
It was a goal. And also, I wanted to get back to my former form.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought this little, and I'm going to work with people here, I think, in weight reducing.
Cause okay.
You saw my NutriBullet.
Yeah.
I've got this Fitbit here.
Uh-huh.
And then I learned weight reduction is 80% psychology,
okay.
20% the mechanics, you know, diet and exercise.
Yes. Yeah.
So the 80% most people neglect, and that's what Tony, I'm learning with Tony, with his program, you know, it's called The Path to Permanent Weight Loss.
Yeah.
One lady, she was 365 pounds, 5'2", and within 6 years,
uh-huh.
she's down to 140,
what?
But she's never gained any weight back.
Yeah.
It's a permanent thing. And Tony never talked to her about weight. He just talked to her about her psychology, about the six human needs that we have and how we satisfy them.
Wow.
Because we use food as a drug.
Yeah.
And basically,
it's
not a way to solve our problem.
You're right. It's not. And a lot of people, I notice when they're depressed, they want to go eat and they want to just buy food and just... And
uh-huh.
But Tony, Tony Robbins, I was listening to one of his series, and he said, I personally was gaining a lot of weight. And he said, I noticed that I had these large plates.
Yeah.
And I was loading these plates up. And he said, when I thought about that, he said, I got rid of all the large plates, and I got smaller plates, so I wouldn't put such massive proportions.
Yeah.
I took Tony's advice and said, you know, Tony Robbins can do this. I can do it. I bought me some smaller plates, and guess what? Believe it or not, I lost some pounds. The weight started dropping off because I noticed I couldn't get as much in a little bitty plate as I was putting in the big one.
Yeah. And also, that's a good way to do it. And also, drink lots of water.
Okay.
Water is really, it cleans out your body because it's the toxins that keep our weight on.
Okay.
And I would say, well, first of all, on November the 12th, I'm going to Fiji for 9 days, and I will perform a cleanse there.
Really?
Yeah, a 6-day cleanse.
Cool.
Where you just have raw vegetables.
Yeah.
Fruits,
uh-huh.
And you have a massage,
mm-hmm.
and you get your blood tested. So this is where I'm going to come back to Brazil to teach that, and here too.
Wow.
But I'm going to stay here and in Brazil too.
Hey, I gotta find out when you get ready to set up, so that way I can come out and invite some of my friends. Now before... the broadcast is over today. We want to give out some of your information so people can contact you because I think it is a great ask that you're of tremendous value, a man of your stature, to take time out to want to work with people and to help them in those areas where they're being challenged in. I don't know about you, but I grew up in East Texas in the country.
Okay.
And we had hogs and cows and horses, and there was nothing for me to come home, and there was they called them chitlins and pig feet and all of the pork and bacon. And Ron, I don't know if anybody told this, but greasy meat does taste good, and you can take some greasy fat meat and put it in your vegetables and your greens, and the taste is just incredible. But I'm glad you're here, and I'm happy that you are inspiring me with healthy food. And that drink that you gave me and my wife today, I mean, not only was it healthy, it actually tastes good.
So
you really touched me, I think we're going to be able to help a lot of us, especially us Americans, who love the taste of good food, but we just don't know healthy food can taste good for us too. But you were saying that through the 6-day course, those are some of the issues you're going to tackle on how to handle those cravings.
Yeah, because for myself.
Okay.
For myself, because I'm not immune to those. What do you call it? The impulse.
Oh,
we gotta have something to eat.
Yeah.
You see, because of the food we already eat,
it
was highly sugar loaded, carb loaded, and this promotes our desire to have more sugar and more carbs.
Yeah,
that's why you're hungry after you eat two hamburgers at McDonald's. You're hungry about 30 minutes after.
You know that's true.
And so that promotes the diet promotes you to be more fat, to be fatter.
Mm-hmm.
Where in Brazil we don't have this. You don't have a McDonald's. We do have McDonald's there,
mm-hmm.
but there's only a few McDonald's, and there's not a lot of opportunity to eat. It's like here, you've got Arby's, you've got Jack in the Box, you've got everything.
And
it's American habits.
So in Brazil, y'all have gardens and you raise your own vegetables?
We do have gardens, but in an apartment you don't raise your own vegetables. But the culture is usually you have a breakfast of fruit.
Okay.
We have about 80 varieties of fruits there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have fresh fruit for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And then at our big meal of the day is at noon.
Yeah.
And so that can be, it can be things with fish or shrimp or things like that, and a lot of vegetables, steamed vegetables.
Yeah.
We call it, we do have feijoada, which is black beans and rice. But there's also cozido, which is all the vegetables together.
Wow.
And then at night, just a soup.
Uh-huh.
You see, and here in America, the big meal is at night, and when you finish the big meal, you go to bed, and what happens is your body hasn't had a chance to get rid of it. It accumulates.
Wow, I sound like you're really hitting me and my friends, because a lot of my friends on one of my jobs, especially in the evenings, Dwight, I can't wait to get home. We're going to have steak and potatoes.
Yeah.
And we're going to have some vegetables and they even invite me to come. A lot of my supervisors would invite me to come over. And that's what they'd have in the evening. They'd have a huge humongous meal every evening.
Yeah, and also Tony taught me about food combining.
Yeah.
You don't combine fish and rice because they're one is alkaline and the other is acid.
Oh.
So I'm going to give a talk on the alkalinity.
Yeah.
Because most people don't realize that how acid our lifestyle is, and that promotes weight gain.
Uh-huh.
And that promotes diabetes, heart problems, everything like that. And so it's the idea of raw vegetables like you just took.
Yeah.
It promotes alkalinity in your blood, which diminishes your appetite along with the water, you see.
And I'll be honest with you, I was hungry. I was a little bit hungry before you gave us that nutritional drink. And I'm sitting here now. I have no craving. I'm not thinking about getting anything else to eat.
Food cravings. You see, that's the thing that affected me when I first came here. The food cravings.
Yeah.
To gain 20 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, oh, God, I haven't had this for 20 years because I've come here and gone to Canada.
Yeah.
Because my sister was in Canada and my friends. And so I really wasn't affected by the food and the culture as much with living here.
Okay. That's amazing. Now, what about, do you eat at Asian cuisines or Chinese food?
I eat the Chinese food that I eat, like, for example, in Brazil, we have a Chinese restaurant there, but it's all natural food. There's no MSG, which is something that Chinese put in all of their vegetables and stuff, which promotes bad health.
Oh.
So if you have natural food, it's good. Chinese, you don't see many overweight Chinese or overweight Japanese or Korean. Or Vietnamese, except the people that have been the second generation here.
You're right.
Yeah, and that's because of the diet here.
It's amazing. And I was reading a book a while back, and it was talking about the sumo wrestlers. And they do the same that we do over here. They eat massive foods. Their latest meal is the biggest meal.
Yeah.
And then they're encouraged to eat late at night and to eat a lot of ice cream before they go to bed, and also they can have. And I'm like, wow, we as Americans, a lot of us are eating like sumo wrestlers.
For sure.
Now, what other food have you tried here from maybe some other country that you think is great? It tastes good and it's nutritious.
Well, I grew up in Quebec, so French food is being. I really love French food, but the French don't put a lot of food on the plate.
Oh, they don't.
And basically, you have it with a red wine, which I enjoy a nice glass of red wine.
Yeah.
And they converse. In Quebec, we converse a lot.
Really?
Where here, people don't eat. They just there's silence at the table, and then they leave, and it's over with.
You're right.
It's a different atmosphere. And it's more like it's a pleasure there. Whereas here, let's get it out of the way and get as much in as we can, and then let's go and do, I don't know, watch TV or do what we're going to do. And then French are more active. So French food, Italian food.
Yeah.
I lived in Italy for a little while.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the Italians, they always have wine and olive oil. And for one example, instead of putting butter on my bread and my toast, I always put olive oil, just like in Italy.
Wow.
Because you don't see many overweight people in Italy.
Okay.
Because of the diet, the Mediterranean diet.
Yes.
Olive oil, they use a lot of lemons. The pasta, of course, but they don't have huge portions of pasta like
this.
The portions are smaller.
Yes.
Here in America, large. Everything is large.
Yeah, there's a restaurant my wife, we passed by, and she's been reminding me, she wants me to take her there on a next time we go out on special occasions, a Mediterranean restaurant, and I told her that I would take her there, but she said the food is great, and I'm going to take her.
Yeah, it's a healthy diet there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a book called The Blue Zones.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
The Blue Zones there's five zones that they found in all over the world where the people normally live over 100, 105, 110, and always in good health.
Yeah.
And in Costa Rica is one place.
Okay.
And the people are active, like a 95-year-old bicycles over to see a lady who's chopping wood.
Yeah.
And making ready to pound her corn tortillas, you see? They do a lot of work.
Wow.
It's not a culture where there's a lot of leisure. And they live They live until 100, 105.
Is that right?
It's near San Jose in Costa Rica.
That's incredible.
Also in the island of Sardinia, over in near Italy,
mm-hmm.
there's another population, and they drink goat's milk, and they have goat's cheese, which is different from the cow's milk.
Now, what's the difference between goat's milk or goat's cheese from the cow's?
Okay, the casein, it's a hormone in the cows.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cows are a big animal.
Yeah.
Whereas the goats, they don't have this. They're small, and they don't have the same hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easier to digest. In fact, I saw a boy in Brazil, Elio. He was brought up on goat's milk.
Uh-huh.
It's more expensive.
Yeah.
But he's healthy today, and he's 21 today.
Well,
but I saw it from zero, and I was always impressed with that.
Wow.
Because I don't drink milk.
Mm-hmm.
Never, I haven't drank milk. I don't drink milk. I don't have sugar. I don't.
You don't use sugar?
No, never, never.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
that there's
enough. Ask what you have.
Yeah, I don't have sugar. And salt, I just use the natural sea salt.
Okay.
We call it sal marino.
Yeah.
And also, I don't drink soft drinks and I'm trying to cut out with the coffee. That's a big challenge.
Wow, no soft drinks. That's good. Since I've cut back on soft drinks, I'm feeling much better. So I think you're right about not consuming a lot of soft drinks because of all of the acids and the sugars that they have.
Yeah.
And there was a lady, young lady on my show. It's been, I guess, 6 months ago, and she was involved with a company that had healthy coffee.
Okay.
And she gave my wife and I some samples, and it tastes great.
Uh-huh.
Had no caffeine and everything. And I'm like, if we really want to improve our health, there is something out there for all of us if we want to get away from the things that are bad for us.
Yeah, it's just habit.
Yeah, right. It's just
habit.
It's habit.
And then culture, the culture.
Yeah,
because if we turn on the TV, all you're going to see is, and of course, me coming from outside of the United States, I see cancer. It's a big business, cancer. And I see drugs. I mean, there's drugs for everything.
Yeah.
I see food.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, those three things.
You're right.
Those three things.
I have a couple of friends that they watched them. The Food Network channel all day long, and they're eating while they're watching the Food Network.
Yeah,
I'm like, if I'm hungry, I'm not going to turn on the Food Network because I'll be going there and do something I don't even need.
Yeah, right.
And I have some, I have some cousins in Alaska and in Canada. We've never been up there to visit them. And I have some friends that live in Costa Rica.
And
I'd like to visit them. I've gotten an invitation.
Yeah.
The reason I had to visit my cousins in Alaska and Canada because when I look, every time I turn the TV and see all that snow and the cold is.
it's not cold.
In
the wintertime.
Oh, just in the
Go in the spring or the summer, the fall.
Okay.
It's not cold. It's just like it was today. It's just beautiful.
Oh, man, you're right.
Today it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So. Put that out of your mind, and down in Costa Rica, you can get some good flights on American. And Costa Rica, I've never been, but it's beautiful.
Okay.
And you'll see a different diet, too.
Well, I definitely want to go and visit and look at other people's diets.
Walk in the rainforest. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of exercise you can do there.
There was a pastor on my show last week from India, and we had a great time, and he wanted me and the staff to try some their delicacies from India. So he and his wife fixed some amazing food for us, and we enjoyed it.
And
he said it was healthy. I mean, one of the dishes were made out from a certain type of leaf.
Yes.
But I couldn't tell it. I'm like, wow, this tastes like it's meat. But he said, no, that's a leaf, and it was delicious.
Yeah, because like when I go to Fiji. I'm going to meet Deepak Chopra. He's going to be there.
Really?
Yeah. And so we're going to learn to meditate better.
Yeah.
And he's going to talk about Ayurvedic healing and the food.
Yes. Because, he's very powerful.
Yes. And so a lot of, I just bought some ghee, which is like a butter.
Yeah.
But it's not, no trans fats or anything like that. And it's Indian.
Wow.
Yeah. It's how do you say? It's organic.
Yeah, organic. Okay.
Yeah.
That's incredible. In fact, I have another friend of mine. I guess Jeff, I want to introduce you to him. His name is Dr. Bobby Moody. You probably met him.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he was a guest on my show too 8 months ago. And he is really in tune with diet and nutrition. He exercises every day.
He's older than I am. He's 75, isn't he?
He's 75. And look, he'll tell you, hey, feel this. I mean, his muscles are hard as bricks.
Yeah.
And he has an incredible nutritious diet. He exercises every day. And just amazing guy.
Yeah. Yeah, Bobby. I know Bobby. Yeah.
I know Bobby, yeah.
Yeah, because of Toastmasters.
Yeah.
Because he's in two clubs, too.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And there's a good example, 75, and
yeah,
he doesn't look 75. He looks 40 or something like that.
I mean, I don't know a 75-year-old that looks like that.
Yeah. I didn't know he was a doctor.
He has a PhD, and I think he has at least 3 or 4 degrees.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's worked with a lot of medical people. He does trainings and consultations with a lot of practitioners.
Okay.
Yeah, so you definitely should talk to him and connect, because you guys, what y'all have to offer could really change a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, right.
And then if you need Mr. Motivate, come in there and do a little comedy or whatever, you know, like this.
For sure.
Before I forget, could you give everybody your email address and your number in case if they need a speaker or they need you, your professional assistance in the area with nutrition, motivation, setting goals?
Yes. My email would be Ron McLeod, RONMCLEOD, 41, the year of my birth, at gmail.com.
Okay.
And my phone number is 469-394-9301.
Oh, thank you. Now, I hope y'all got that information. That's runmcleod@gmail.com.
RonMcLeod 41.
Excuse me, runmcleod41@gmail.com. And give us your number one more time, Ron.
It's 469-394-9301.
Okay, folks, take that information down, because Ron has an incredible background, and he loves helping and working with people and organizations and groups. And if you want to change your life, if you want to improve your health and you want to achieve more, you need to contact Ron, and don't wait until tomorrow. Do it today, because your health, your life is the greatest asset that you have on this planet. And why let yourself go in a rut, get in a rut, or let your health go down because you don't know how to motivate yourself to take action. Ron, what do you say about people who maybe they're trying, they're eating healthy, but when it comes to they've paid out money to be to work at a fitness place or to have a trainer, but they procrastinate and don't go? What can you say to an individual that's listening right now that knows that they need to work on their health, but they procrastinate from exercise and a lot of things that are important?
Well, maybe they need to go around to the hospitals and see what happens to people.
Oh.
that don't take care of their health,
mm-hmm.
because most of all of the top 10 diseases
yes.
causing death in the United States, 8 out of the 10 are related, diet related and exercise related.
Wow.
So if they would do that, and also on the positive side, if they could take some time for themselves to visualize what it would be like to be working with their granddaughter or grandson,
yeah,
and walking with them when they're 100 or 90 years
yeah.
old, that can be a motivator.
Yes.
And also, basically, you don't need to go to a gym. I haven't been to a gym for so long. I do the stairs. I walk. I have this little Fitbit here. The Fitbit is $110, and it shows you, see, I've done 5,000 steps today.
Yeah.
My goal is always to do, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it, right?
You gotta keep a record. This uploads to the site. Uh-huh.
And so every week they send me a report. Hey, you've done, you know, at 15, you've done 105,000
wow.
steps, 120,000 steps.
That's cool.
And then you see a chart over the whole year.
Wow.
So I've done over, I'm going on 3 million steps this year.
Because I
bought this on January the 1st.
Well,
because I need to really substitute for my stair climbing
wow.
until I get back there.
I appreciate you sharing that with us because you're right. We need to see our progress. We need to keep score. We need to keep a track record because if you're not, and I can see yours right now. I see your figures right there.
You see that? It's the stairs. I don't know if this is accurate.
That is amazing.
And there's the number of miles.
Wow.
2.45 miles.
Yes.
And there's the calories burnt. So you can always have, you see, if you can't measure it,
mm-hmm.
you can't manage it. That's the whole thing about scorekeeping.
I got you.
Yeah.
If you can't measure it, you can't manage it.
And also, scorekeeping helps you to overcome this thing about beating yourself up. If you got zero today, at least over the long, you see your trends.
Yeah.
If I had, for example, I had 19 zeros, not 19 zeros, but 19 times that I didn't reach my first goal of 102 stairs,
yeah.
floors.
Yeah.
But what kept me going was the final.
Yeah.
I wanted to be fit.
Yeah.
I wanted to have a VO2 max of 60 or above.
Wow.
So, and of course, the annual exam shows me that.
Wow.
So it's always numbers
yeah.
and keeping track of your progress.
Man,
it could be for eating, too. Because there's another program in conjunction with Fitbit called Lose It.
Uh-huh.
It's an app,
uh-huh.
and you put all the food that you've eaten today. And if you go out to McDonald's or Denny's or something like that, they all have menus, and it says calories. But the most important part is not the calories. It's the kind of calories.
Yeah.
Because when you drink a soft drink, you get calories, but they're empty calories.
Mm-hmm. That is incredible. I think you've shared some valuable advice with our listeners today. And one of my friends, his name is Ron also. His name is Ron Jones. He was a former mayor in a suburb of Garland, a suburb of Dallas called Garland.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife told me that she was dealing with a diabetes situation, and she changed her diet, and she started eating healthy. She lost the weight, and the doctors took her off of all the medication, and now she's living a great life. Well, it looks like we're out of time, and Ron, I just want to thank you for being a guest on the Mr. Motivator Show,
okay.
And will you come back and give us some updates, do some future shows with us, Ron?
I'd be glad to, and I thank you for inviting me.
I feel privileged. You know, you're an awesome guy, and just for you to share some of the things that you've shared with us, I know there are going to be some people that can get better control of their lives. So thank you for being here. Okay, folks, remember, success is yours. If you dare to dream and keep thinking big, you will discover your purpose in life. Take it heart,
take to heart what our friend Ron say. Start keeping score. Get control of your life. Live your life. Enjoy it to the fullest. Folks, again, thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. This is Mr. Motivator. We want you to know we appreciate you. We look forward to you being here with us on the next show, the next broadcast. And have a great week. Enjoy the beautiful weather. We'll see you the same time next week. Bye.
Yeah, that's great.